I'll go grab the first group.
Thank you, Nicole.
We don't want to get behind before we start.
And I'm not going to ask any questions and anything. I'm just going to sit and listen.
Is that your New Year's resolution? No.
That's my
we already know what we already know what Don's New Year's resolution is.
My need to be unbiased.
He has not missed a golfing day yet.
Have you really been out there no matter rain or shine?
I have.
Everything.
This is my witness.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
So we have the Nonprofit Social Service Agency Allocations Task Force, and present we have
Liz Martin,
and Rick Leather, and Don Taylor, and Council Liaison Mark McConnell, and Nicole Clark taking notes. And our first person up is Pam Salisbury with the Lincoln County Children's Advocacy Center. And that's the last thing I'm going to say.
Okay. Lincoln County Children's Advocacy Center, and I'm going to just say the Children's Advocacy Center because it's a lot easier, has been in existence for the county for 15 years, located in Newport out on Northeast 47th. I don't know, have any of you seen Arcus Leoka? It was built for the purpose that it serves. We serve the suspected and confirmed child abuse victims throughout the county. This application is pertinent to Newport. We typically see a third of our cases are from Newport. It's pretty evenly divided between Lincoln City and Newport, and because of population base than the other communities, and it's really how many kids live in what communities. We provide assessment services, intervention, advocacy, and counseling. The assessment services are forensic interviews. And forensic interviews are done to get the child's story, as opposed to interrogation, like you might see on TV with Law and Order and all of those kinds of things. A forensic interview is done by a specially trained interviewer, and they follow the Oregon interview guidelines. It's very neutral. They go through a very defined process with the child. We interview children from the age of 4 to the age of 18, although we see kids at the center from birth to age 18. Usually children under 4 do not have a grasp of concepts and words and don't totally understand the difference between truth and lie. And one of the things that they go through a process of determining whether the child understands concepts, words, and knows the difference between truth and lie before they begin to ask them to tell their story. So it's non-leading, very neutral. The majority of our assessment services are forensic interviews. We also do medical assessments of the children. Because we only have physician coverage half a day a week, and that is only because of our limited availability of a specially trained pediatrician to do those interviews. We have a piece of equipment that does photographs as a microscope. It's called a colposcope, and the equipment is not available in physician clinics or in the emergency rooms. But emergent exams are done at the hospital, either here in Newport or up in Lincoln City. So we don't do anything emergent. We only do scheduled. We then provide advocacy, and which we follow the families and the children for as long as necessary. And that advocate also refers for community services, other needs that this family may have. We have two master's prepared, specially trained counselors at the center, and every child that comes to the center is given the opportunity for a mental health assessment and counseling. We do not charge for any of our services that we provide. So we're totally dependent on grants donations, fundraising. We do bill for medical insurance, but if there's no coverage for that, then there's no charge to the families. Nor is there any charge for any medical laboratory tests that are done on that child. I failed to mention that forensic interviews are videotaped. And law enforcement and DHS Child Welfare is there, are able to watch the interview on closed circuit TV. And then those videotapes are used in the criminal proceedings, should it go to a criminal trial. So what this application is asking for is $2,000 to help cover the assessment and the counseling services for Newport children. Recent national test, there are about 900 children's advocacy centers in the country, and they did this in-depth study and came out that on an average across the country, all sizes of children's advocacy centers, it costs typically $1,000 per child. Our costs are higher than that because we're spreading fixed costs across a smaller population. The CAC in Portland sees thousands of kids every year, and so their costs are lower than ours. And what happened prior to the CAC is that children were interviewed in police stations, in the back of police cars. They weren't videotaped. So it was the officer's word against the child's on what transpired. They might have taped it on a recorder. Very traumatic. Kids were re-traumatized, and allowing them to come to the center, which is very child-friendly. The kids love to come to the center. They feel very comfortable there. And while they're being interviewed, I mean, it's not, they even, we show them the cameras, we show them the microphones. They never even look in that direction. It's like they don't even think about it when they're in those rooms being interviewed. And the medical rooms are very comfortable for them. So it's a very safe place. And we would definitely be very appreciative of anything that you can give to us. Our funding continues to go down.
How many children did you see last calendar year to 2011?
2011, we saw almost 200. It was less than the previous year. Last year, we had a 53% increase in volumes, but we saw fewer kids last year. It fluctuates. It just really fluctuates. Right now, we're being bombarded with kids from all over the county. Why in the last 3 weeks? It's just the nature of the beast.
So from your experience, what would be high and low numbers?
For us,
years? Yeah.
200 was the highest. Last year was the highest the center's ever seen.
Okay.
And the year before that?
The year before that, we were about 100.
So is it going up then?
It is going up. One of the reasons is, well, the economy right now. Last year, we had a major increase in physical abuse. And I mean, nobody knows for sure. Is it in relationship to people being unemployed, higher alcohol and drug use? I don't know. But we definitely had more physical abuse last year. Now, so far this year, we're seeing almost 100% of sex abuse. So you really can't predict. I mean, it's just whatever is reported. Mm. It's out there. It's happening.
Yeah, and these are referrals from the police or DHS.
Oh, right. We do not take direct referrals from the community. It has to come via law enforcement or DHS. Now, for medical exams, we do take referrals from physicians in the community. They may be seeing a child. They want our doctor to see them. Counseling, we take referrals from schools, from my sister's place, and professionals in the community. County Mental Health refers kids to us. So we do take from other sources for counseling.
Mm-hmm. And if you weren't doing this service, then our city police would...
They'd have to be doing it. So. I talked to the chief just last week. Maybe it was this week. No, it was last week. I was asking him about, they do now have an interview room. I guess that's here.
It's here, mm-hmm. Yeah, in the police
but
department.
But it's a typical interview room. It's not a comfortable...
It's
not child-friendly.
Yeah.
Our conference room was built for grand jury. And we're working with the district attorney right now to bring it back. There was a court case some years ago, I think in Yamhill County, where the defense attorney said that the grand jury was tainted by being in the Children's Advocacy Center. Mm-hmm. And our district attorney at the time decided not to test that ruling and pulled it out of grand jury. But if you can think of the kids that have to go down to the DA's office and go in that cramped room to testify in front of, you know, we really are hoping that we can bring it back because it's a comfortable place for the kids. It's not as scary. These kids are very traumatized, and every time, you know, that they have to talk and tell their story. So hopefully when they come to us, they do, like, detectives do a field interview, which is just very brief. Is the child safe? Is there a problem? But they don't do an in-depth. This past Thursday, we had an interview that lasted 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Think about a child in that interview room here, even though it's, I'm sure, nice.
Yeah.
But for 2 hours with a police officer, I mean, it looks more like what you do see on TV.
Thank you.
Any more questions?
So the process at this point will be that after they hear all the presentations tonight, they'll try to make a decision and make a recommendation to the council.
Okay.
And the council will act on that recommendation at our next meeting, which is March 5th.
Okay.
And if you want to know what the recommendations were, you can call Nicole between now and the council meeting.
Okay.
And it'll be public record as well. The recordings from tonight's meeting will be online tomorrow, probably.
And the morning.
So, yeah.
Okay, great.
Thanks, Pam.
Thanks a lot, Pam.
Uh-huh. Thanks for all your work.
And hopefully we'll continue this next year. I mean, we're already halfway through the fiscal year, but hopefully we'll find room in the budget for at least as much, if not more, this next year. And we'll start the process sooner, probably as soon as the budget's approved and we know that the money's going to be there. We'll start the application process and cycle through more quickly. So maybe July, August this next year.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so that the money can be used all year instead of just the next 6 months.
Great.
Yeah.
I failed to mention the state in our hearings right now. They're going to cut the child abuse monies again.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Hi.
Where would you like me?
Here's Sally.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi. How are you?
Hi.
Hi,
Sally.
Hi.
So
that's just a sheet, kind of.
Do you know everybody?
Are asking.
I'm Liz Martin.
Martin.
Liz Martin.
Yeah.
I've met you one time. Yes. Yeah. I've met with names.
And Rick Leather.
Yes. I met you, and I know Don.
Deciding
today, in fact.
So Sally Bovet is here on behalf of Habitat for Humanity.
Sally, can you spell your last name for me?
Sure, it's B as in boy, O, V as in Victor, ETT.
Thank you.
You can start.
I'm here for Habitat for Humanity, Lincoln County. I'm looking to try to find some support for some of our program assistant costs in our office. We are doing a lot of increasing work in the county. We're doing 4 builds in the next 2 years in the Walport area. So we have 2 houses scheduled for this year and 2 for next year. And with increased building and with increased activity through our restore that we also have in Newport, we're also planning another one in Lincoln City that's opening in the spring. It's become very apparent that I need a little bit of support in the office, and so the program assistant is the position that provides support for all of the entire operation, including the restores, the builds, and myself. And so I'm asking for some help for that position to help offset the costs of that.
Thank
Who do you have now, Sally, helping you with that?
We have Nancy King. She's been with us for about a year and a half. Mm-hmm. She started through a JobWorks program, which was through the Department of Human Services. So it was a on-the-job training program for the first 6 months. And then after that, we paid $1 per hour through that program, which was wonderful for us. The program funding was cut in July. So that's why we now have to come up with some funding to be able to keep her there. And we received a little bit of funding from Lincoln County Social Service Allocation. And we're hoping to get a little bit more from here just to be able to offset the cost of keeping her on.
Okay. And so her job description is an assistant to you.
She's a program assistant is her title. Yeah. Okay. Not just to me. She also does training, helps with the restore. We just had staff turnover there, so she literally goes over there, trains the new, she trained the new manager, does all of the policies in the restore, runs the restore when we need her, and I both do because we have a very small staff. And she'll do the same thing up in Lincoln City when we get that up and running.
Okay.
So.
And everyone knows what a restore is, right?
Yeah, we're currently negotiating property lease for a place up in Lincoln City.
Is hers a full-time position?
It is now. It was 20 hours with JobWorks, and when we were able to get some increased funding, it went to 40 hours a week. We'd like to keep her at that, if we can.
So this would be?
This would pay for about, her position is $24,000 a year, and so it's $10 an hour position. And this would pay for a small part of it. The rest of it would come through restore revenues that come into the, that provides our operating revenues, and then also the other grants that we're applying for, a couple of other ones as well for her. I kind of piecemeal things together because there's not many that you can really apply for operating support. So there's very few grants to go to for this. She also does a lot of the coordination of build volunteers. And I think it's really critical on the upcoming build because we're building two, that there's going to be a lot more people involved than on our last few builds. And that takes a lot of coordination so that it takes it off of the general contractor. So if she can provide that support in the office, it really frees that person up to do the actual build work on site.
Do you guys have any further questions?
No, ma'am.
Don, are you good?
I'm familiar with Habitat. It's really grown, though, since the good old days, right?
Yeah,
I mean, really, it's amazing how well you've done since you've come on.
What's hard is balancing the need for the growth with funding of the positions, because one of the things we try really hard is to keep our overhead down. We run a very frugal office, and so Nancy's position, she's really required to do a lot more than we're actually compensating her for, because it's a pretty full position that she does. Mm-hmm. Without it, I'm not sure that I could be as effective as I have been, because just the day-to-day, she does all of our QuickBooks data entry, she coordinates with all of our bookkeeping with our accountants, and it's getting to be a fairly sophisticated with all the things we're doing. There's all the home mortgages to balance, there's the restore accounts to balance, there's a lot more than I think we had a couple, 2-3 years ago to stay on top of. So that helps having her, because then I don't have to do that piece myself.
It's amazing to see the growth, like you said. It's
a lot of people working hard, and we've been lucky. We've gotten some pretty big grants. The grant for the Lincoln City store, one of the reasons why we're able to open it is we got a Murdoch grant, and that funds our manager position for 3 years. So that keeps the risk low for us. At least it gives us time to have a full-time position there and not have to fund that out of the restore. So that's the other way we're going to cover the rest of Nancy's position, is through the increased revenues from Lincoln City. And I think that's kind of an untapped market. We haven't really been able to get up there because geographically it's tough for people to bring stuff down here. They don't have a way to get their items into the Newport store. So I think it'll do well once we get established.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
Yep. Exciting.
Yeah.
Well, the committee's going to talk after all the interviews today and make a recommendation, which will be forwarded to council at the March 5th meeting for a final decision from them.
Okay.
I will have an idea of the recommendations tomorrow. if you want to give me a call or send me an email, you can do that and be happy to let you know what their decision was for all of the groups.
Great. Okay. Well, thank you for giving the time. And
thank you.
Appreciate
thanks
you guys
coming in.
Yeah, we appreciate, you know, the nonprofits. It's very limited funding. We appreciate cities and the counties able to set aside a little bit of money for this. It's kind of critical.
Hopefully we'll be able to shoot the calendar a little bit sooner so that if we put money in the budget this next year, we'll have the process in place and we'll start the, as soon as the budget's approved and we know the money's going to be there, we'll start taking applications and have the funding round happen sooner this next year, so July, August probably.
It's just nice to get any funding nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Sally.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Exactly, a Samaritan house. You gents know.
You know the old Tides in was.
Hi.
You know the old Tides.
You know your faces. Where do you want me?
It's down,
right,
it's just
right
down over here,
right here.
Below 4J's Plaza.
Oh, okay.
Right down over the hill there.
You know where
yeah.
The coffee shop is.
Remember me?
You turn
Dutch brother. Really familiar.
Dutch brother.
Yeah. It's down behind it.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It's an old hotel.
Yes. Yeah. I read that. Wow.
I don't remember the name.
Used to be in the paper a lot because
yeah,
they have shootings and stuff on
the
street. For a few more weeks.
Can you state your name for the record?
Bridget Dix.
Thank you.
If I can remember it, I came.
You know everybody.
Rick Plethora.
Okay.
So,
did some eye care way back when for kids.
So you, it's the table's yours. You can
okay.
Make
well,
a pitch.
Let me start by passing around. I brought way more than we needed. Just wanted to give everybody your relatively new brochure.
Yeah, thanks.
I guess everybody's fairly familiar with Samaritan House. Some of you. Really familiar. We are a shelter and transitional housing program for homeless families with children. And we have been at our current site, which is over near Georgie's, for 9 years. On March 1st of this year, we've been there 9 years.
So, wow.
And I keep referring it to it as our new facility still.
Yeah, yeah.
But the city of Newport was very instrumental in helping us get into that new facility, and we're very appreciative to Mark and everyone else who has reinstated the social service allocation fund. We definitely are hurting this year financially because of some really major cuts to the state and federal funding, especially that has funneled to us through Community Services Consortium, and it like totally went away this year. So that was about a $30,000. To our budget, which is already pretty bare bones. So we're really glad for this opportunity to request some additional funding. And I basically asked for funding for essential services, utilities, and I figured that, you know, the city would be getting back at least a good chunk of whatever you might give us if we pay our water bill. So I just figured that if you guys have any questions, I'd be.
How many families can you support at one time?
At one time? Right now we have
we have 10 apartments that are, well, no wait, we have 8 that are open right now, and we have the potential for an additional 3 if we have enough funding to operate those 3. But we, because of the huge cuts that we had this year, we did close down a few of the units.
So you, two. Did I hear that right? You currently have 8 that are being utilized.
Right, right. And we have 2 that are for live-in staff who are also low income, so that manage, you know, that provide overnight supervision, and one of them is our maintenance coordinator too.
So from what I've heard, the apartments would be converted motel rooms?
Well, actually, it did used to be a motel, but it was, and as Dawn knows, it was in pretty bad shape when we got it, and they basically pretty much stripped it down to the floorboards or beyond, and so rebuilt it completely, and we did have to stick within the original footprint of the building so we could go by the previous setback codes and whatnot, but so that did restrict us a little bit in how we could configure things, but they are more like small apartments, or I guess, you know, comparable to motel rooms that might have kitchenettes or something. Most of them are one bedroom units, and so they have a little kitchen, you know, apartment size appliances and things, and then there's 2 bedroom units.
I'm going to keep asking unless
sure,
the rest of you want to chide in. Is there an average length of stay? Because I know you're very proactive in getting people back into the community and into jobs. And could you give us a demographic of what the families look like in terms of composition?
I always say it's really hard to come up with an average because each family situation is different. We probably serve about the same number of single parent families as we do 2 parent families.
Okay.
They're not necessarily married couples, but probably it's about evenly split. And we don't have any restrictions about, you know, it's not just women and children only kind of thing. We've had single dads there, not nearly as many as the single moms, but we've had some. And the full length of the program, if they go through all 3 of our phases, they come in for up to 30 days in the emergency phase, and then the transitional phase is another 3 months, and that's the one where they start saving toward being able to get into a place of their own. And then if they go to our rental phase, that's another 6 months approximately. So if they go through all 3 phases, they can be there 10 months and sometimes a little longer. Sometimes we are able to grant extensions. But it used to be that most families did want to stay through that 3-phase program. Now we're finding fewer are going into that rental phase because we don't have as much access to the housing vouchers that we used to be able to get from the housing authority. We have an agreement with them where if we choose someone to be a renter with us, then it essentially bumps them up to the top of the list, but because they've had to close the Section 8 voucher list, new people coming into the shelter can't even get on the list in order to be given preference. So that's been another big hit to our revenue sources is losing that subsidy from the Section 8 program because we are limited in, we can only charge, because it's low-income housing, we can only charge people up to 30% of their rent, and I mean of their income for rent. And, you know, that's pretty much all any of them can afford anyway, so.
I don't know if this is an answerable question, but what would it cost either on a monthly, I guess a monthly basis, to add another of your now non-usable units?
Oh, gosh.
You have three that are not being used.
Right, right. I'm trying to think what we slashed the budget by. Yeah, I don't know that I can really, on a...
That's fair.
I'm thinking it probably... Probably would be another, maybe 5,000 for some additional staff time and the extra utilities and maintenance and that kind of thing.
That's annually? Okay, all right, thanks.
Any more questions?
Well, I was just looking at your fundraising. You said you're going to start a a la carte?
Yes, yes. Right now it's parked out in front of the building, covered with a tarp, but but they're going to be starting to use it at various events around the county, hopefully, and right now they're depending on volunteers to manage it and staff it and stuff, and with hopefully some involvement from residents too, and if they can get it going well enough, then hopefully be able to have at least a part-time person to manage it, and then there'd be opportunity to use it more than just at various events. We're actually going to be at the Seafood and Wine Festival for the first time this year, but they wouldn't let us have the cart there, so we're just having to do a booth inside. So, but we consider it part of the same operation. So we've got a very popular shrimp bisque recipe that we're
so that's your board that's going to be operating mm-hmm. that. So.
How many people do you have? How many families do you have on your waiting list right now?
Oh, golly, I haven't counted it. I kind of stopped counting because it was too depressing.
Yeah.
It and, averages.
And the families that you served, how many come from the Newport area?
I think about probably at least a quarter of them, maybe even more than that, come from the Newport area. We average at least 40 families on the waiting list at any given time, and sometimes
a quarter of those are probably Newport.
We have started seeing more families just in the last year or so that since the economy got so bad, we're seeing way more people that are coming here from elsewhere, but usually it's because they have family in the area and they're looking for that support system. So a lot of them are still connected to the Newport area, even if they're not technically from here. Although we consider once they're in their shelter, they're Newport citizens. So.
And once they're here, they're Newport citizens.
Yeah. So are they?
Yeah.
How are they referred to you?
It can be from a variety of sources. A lot of the churches get approached by people, and so they refer to us. The other social service agencies refer. People can just self-refer. More and more of them seem to be surfing the net, and so we get email contacts from people. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. But a lot of referrals from entities in the community.
How many kids are in each family? Average to 1, 2, 3.
It is so widespread. There's there's probably as many with one child as there are with 4 to 6. We've had families of 7 or 8 in there, if you can imagine that, crammed into one bedroom. Yeah, they hopefully have kids that are little enough that they can sleep 2 or 3 sideways on a bunk.
So on the average, of those, maybe about 3
children per unit.
You have about 24 kids, or 24 to 30 kids there at any one time.
Yeah.
And do you feed them as well?
No. If they come in and, are totally without food stamps left or whatever, we have a stash of emergency food we can give them, but most of them are on food stamps already, or we get them hooked up on, when people contact us, part of the process of being on the waiting list is they get a list of things to do in the meantime that will kind of help their situation out. So they get referred to go get on housing lists if they can, and sign up for food stamps and OHP and whatever else they might qualify for, and they make use of the food pantries and that kind of thing.
You do nutrition classes and work with them on all kinds of...
Yeah, we do. Well, she hasn't contacted us for a while, but the OSU Extension Service, we have an arrangement with them, so we're not providing the class ourselves. So it's not a cost to us, which is a good thing. But they come in periodically and do nutrition classes. And it's part of our wellness program, which is a relatively new thing that we started. It's probably not as new as I'm remembering it to be, but I think we've done it for a few years now. And we take a broad definition of wellness, and so our case manager is kind of conducting the overall program elements, but it incorporates our budgeting and money management class, the nutrition classes, and other things that we try to bring in things that other entities in the community are already doing and just have them do it for our residents at the shelter, so we're not duplicating efforts as much. But a lot of our families don't have transportation or childcare, and so that's one thing that we can do is have the classes where they're more able to attend them. And we have a great relationship now with the help center through the school district, and they're coming over and doing the childcare with the kids while the parents are in the classes. Because before that was, finding volunteers to do childcare is, there's too many sane people out there that know what they're getting into. So that was really hard to...
But they're required to be to the classes. That's one of the stipulations of staying with you, is that they have to take the classes and coursework and learn how to live.
Right. We do excuse them if they, have employment or something that would interfere, but... We try to incorporate as many folks in that as we can. So the other things that the case manager then combines into that wellness program is things on like family communication, parenting skills, self-esteem, things even like personal hygiene and just the whole gamut of things. And she tries to get the residents involved in presenting the information too. So they might do something like if they have a segment that they do on exercise or stress reduction or something, then they each go and kind of research their favorite way to do that and come back and present to the rest of the residents. So it's a very popular class.
Great. I just have one other question. I'm just looking at your personnel summary, and it shows that executive director is quite a change in salary.
That's because
I decreased.
Cut myself back because of our reduced budget.
Yeah. I mean, that's a big Yeah, it is. Get to you right there. I really applaud you for all you do.
I was fortunate that I turned old enough that I could start drawing my retirement pension for my previous job, so I was able to do that with a little less pain than some other folks might have.
How long have you been with Samaritan House, Bridget?
10 years as an employee and 10 years on the board before that. So
you cut two other positions altogether.
Yeah.
Administrative assistant.
Yeah. Yeah. So I kind of became my own assistant this year. We still use volunteers as much as
tripled your hours and cut your pay.
Well, thank you for all you do, because you've done so much for this community.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we ran past our time a little bit, but the committee is...
As usual.
That's okay. The committee is going to come together tonight and make their recommendations for council, which will go to council on the March 5th meeting.
Okay.
If you'd like to know what the recommendations were from the council, you can send me an email or give me a call later this week.
Okay.
Tomorrow, and I can let you know what the decision was.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay.
Sounds good.
And then hopefully the next round will happen sooner if we put money in the budget, which I'm hoping we will.
Okay.
For this next fiscal year, then we'll start in July with the next round.
Okay.
And have it be done earlier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The money got put in for this fiscal year, but it's taken us 6 months to get the paperwork and council and everybody on board and get the committee appointed.
Totally can relate.
Et cetera. Better late than never.
Yes. Yes. And it definitely is.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for the
question.
Oh,
great.
All
right. Good luck. I know you have
hard
decisions to make.
We do, but you're doing good work. And, we're amazed by what you do. So.
Thank you.
And impressed, Bridget.
Take care.
Bye, Bridget.
Gosh, when you first came here, Samaritan House was, behind Sacred Heart.
Yeah.
It was the parish.
And then they moved into a house over by the high school.
I visited that place a couple
weren't
of times.
They were in a house over by the high school, too.
Yeah. And then we got the property there.
Hello.
Hi.
Sit all around the end of the table.
We thought we'd quadruple you.
Yeah, we're going to gang up on
you. Intimidation might help, sure.
If you could all just tell me your name so I can get it in the notes, that would be great.
Richard Shaw, Chairman of the Board.
Okay.
Naomi Shadwick, volunteer.
Chandler Davis, board member.
Perfect, thank you.
And you and everybody here? I'm Mark McConnell, Mayor. I'm just the council liaison to the committee, so you won't hear any questions from me. We have Don Taylor, Rick Leather, and Liz Martin.
Yeah. Who's the gentleman in the back?
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Bill Shadwick. This is my husband.
Oh. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Bill. Hi.
Welcome.
So you can just start in. Talk about who you are and what you're asking for and give background, and then questions will come after.
Back on the Progressive Option itself. The Progressive Option was founded in Lincoln City in 1996 as an independent living center for persons with disabilities. And we moved into Newport around 2004, 2005. At that time, contact was closing, so we decided that we would provide homeless services as well as independent or services for persons with disabilities. We did that for several years, then we decided to get out of that. Stopped our funding. We were funded at that time by the State Independent Living Council, but they decided to stop funding us. And we've been kind of struggling along since then with some small grants. We had Healthy Kids Grant for a while. That was off our mission statement, so we decided to drop that. I know we were in South Beach for a while with Healthy Kids Grant. We had been across the street from the Apple Peddler 2004, 2005, 2006, And now we're at 611 Southwest Horgrove Street across from Jones Whale, where Jeff Ulrich has his law office in that compound, business compound in there. And we're starting over again. We're kind of small, downsized. And we have volunteer staff. Of course, the board's volunteer, but we have volunteer staff. And that's about it.
And Richard, you serve mostly disabled clientele, right?
Yeah, but we're trying to focus now on serving the disabled community. We don't really serve the homeless people anymore, although sometimes they overlap. But the person with disability, we're kind of appropriate. We're hoping that I also work in homeless with the homeless issues. That Jim Myers is, at least for Newport, church group will take up the homeless issues there, so we can work together maybe. But yeah, we're focusing mostly on persons with disabilities, which can be mental disabilities or physical disabilities. One of our recent clients, it wasn't really what you would think of as a disability, except he lived in a marina, and the people next to him was a boatyard, and they pressure washed boat bottoms, the paint off the bottoms of boats, and that got into the rat that was along the marina edge of the shore, and that got into the marina with drinking water, and he got toxins in his blood, in his body that were 90% percentiles. He was very, very, he should have been dead, but he wasn't. He'd taken really good care of himself. So we helped him with finding a doctor, and kind of gave him a lot of moral support. I was thinking about it today. He ended up finding a doctor, new practice, because anyway, there were issues with Samaritan, couldn't refer outside, there wasn't toxicologists, things like that. So he got someone to work with. But we at least gave him someone to tell his story to. And another woman needed, she's a homeless lady, but she's disabled, and she needed new glasses. So we arranged an optometrist to visit with an optometrist for her, and there were little problems there, but she had his dog, and she had a problem with the optometrist because of that. But we did arrange that. That's just two of our recent clients. We had a lady that once was a receptionist at one point, was legally blind. We have it's a computer thing. It magnifies everything, so she could be a receptionist and still see. We had a lady working for us that was deaf, and she worked with some deaf clients, and she worked with us as part of our staff. So we hope that we want to have disabled persons, person with disabilities on our board, which we do have, and also in our staff. So we have both of those. I myself have a mental disability, and Progressive Options helped me a lot. So we show persons with disabilities.
Our core function has always been information, referral, and advocacy. And with people who are disabled, it not necessarily handing them a list of phone numbers to call. The advocacy part is you often need to go with them. A lot of the people we deal with have cognitive difficulties or hearing or vision impairment, mental health issues. It's not as simple just to give them a phone number, say go up to Toledo and talk to Senior Disability Services. That won't work. They also may have had bad experiences with bureaucrats. Not, of course, the city of Newport, but the county and state. and they may be intimidated by these government offices and afraid of them and not know how to access services, what questions to ask. Our newest services is to utilize the adult aging disability resources center toll-free number and website and the 211 system. But we've done trainings where we invite other agencies, we're training our staff. And what we're offering is a service so that people can come in. We have the computer, we have the cell phone if they don't have a phone or computer. We'll walk them through it, help them know what keyword to look for, how to get it. And then if they need help is following up, we can provide that. It's not as intuitive as one would hope. They're fairly complicated to figure out, especially if you're working with an impairment or disability. So as much as it would be nice if all you needed to do was publish a pamphlet or give out phone numbers, that is not how it works. And our goal in training people on these databases is that they can eventually have some ability to independently work through this web. But it's probably not going to happen with a lot of people. They're going to need help, follow-up advocacy, to be able to really effectively get the services they're entitled to. Although we don't focus on homeless anymore, a huge portion of the homeless people in this area are homeless because they have disabilities and they haven't been able to get benefits. It's a 3 or 4 year wait. It's extremely difficult to get benefits. Meanwhile, they can't work, so they're on the street. And we've also found that because of the demographics of this area, most of the people we see are low income. Now, in the cities, you see more middle class people in wheelchairs. They may be better educated, they may be better able to work than people with cognitive difficulties or mental illness. So we tend to deal mostly with people with low income. And that's where our services become absolutely critical. And when they have low income and these impairments, it's not just as simple as, you know, handing out a pamphlet.
How many people do you see in a calendar year?
Last year, about 300, 400.
More than that. Because I know in 2008, we were seeing like 15 people a day. But we've scaled back because of, you know, our limited funding. But I'd say 530, 150 times 12, I'd say about 2,000 a year. There's a repeat, some people repeat.
And is it from anywhere? Is it limited to Lincoln County, Newport? Who do you see anybody that needs help that walks in the door?
Lincoln County. Well, if there's people that just recently arrived from another county, then they come in and then we can, you know.
Yeah, our mission is to serve a person with disabilities. So if a person walks in the door, we don't really ask, oh, you're from Portland. We serve them. And very infrequently that I can remember, has anyone been outside of the county and asking for services?
We'll help anybody who comes in to access the services for referrals, to find some help. We will follow up and really treat them as caseworkers if they meet our criteria of disability, which is that we don't ask them what their disability is or if they have a disability or if they can prove it.
Actually, we can't ask them. They have to tell us. Well, no, we could. In the Silk Road, that we can't have to tell us that they have a disability, but we could. I mean, sometimes a person's sitting there, you're talking to them, they want information referral, and they obviously have a disability that they've been kind of hiding maybe from themselves, so nobody's ever thought of it as a disability. This person could get a Social Security if they wanted to. At least they could try, but they're not aware of that, they're not thinking like that. So in the past, we haven't been able to tell, well, you look like you have an impairment that might be a disability. Would you like to get Social Security? We can't do that. They have to come to us and tell us that they have these problems before we can address them. Well, we can help them in any other way they ask us to go.
Okay. Any more questions? Okay, so the task force will meet and they're going to decide on their recommendations to be forwarded to council at the March 5th meeting. So I'll have their recommendations in the morning. If someone wants to follow up with me, it's the same. I'm Nicole. You can email me or give me a call, and I'll let you know what their recommendation that they're going to be forwarding to council is. Okay?
All right.
Thank you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We'll probably have a new round. And how the budget cycle goes, we'll probably have a new round starting in July this next year rather than halfway through the year. So keep your eyes and ears open.
Okay. Thank you.
Next round.
Do you know Richard?
Mm-mm.
He, interesting fellow. He was homeless for many years.
Yeah.
Pulled himself up out of it.
They sort of progressive options. Every time I hear their spiel, they kind of they reinvented themselves a whole bunch of times.
Yeah.
After, like you were saying, after Contact went under, they were hoping to try and take over some of that, but it just proved too much.
It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming.
Yeah. Not everybody's on
I'll be living down there for the next 3, 4, 5 days.
Yeah, so that feels like that for everyone.
Where do you want us?
Right there.
Wherever you like. Pull up a chair.
Right there.
Shall we do a dance?
No, let's not dance.
Do we are there any introductions needed?
I'm Betsy Henderson. I'm the director of the program. This is my board president, Doug Hunt. And I think probably most of you know him, but, and I know you.
Don Taylor.
Oh, you're Don. Oh, you're famous. Okay, I've heard.
Don's
the movie star.
Q.
The movie star.
Yes, the movie star. And I kind of know you. And I know you.
And I'm famous too, yeah.
She's on the school board.
And Liz.
That's right.
Oh, you are famous too. Yeah.
No, yeah. Not really. Not because of that.
So people just been starting right in, talking about what you are and what you want.
Fire
and what
us.
You need.
Or,
yes.
It's your show.
Okay, well, you have our application. Obviously, we are a small nonprofit organization. We've been around since 1988 here in Newport and nationally since 1977. But the main thing I guess I want to tell you is that we are here to work with children who are in foster care. So we are unique. Our service is not duplicated. We certainly work with other youth serving organizations in the city and in the county. But it's a unique service. So what we do is recruit and train advocates so that they are able to go into court and represent children who are in foster care to make certain that they're getting all the services that they need and that their best interests are being looked after. One of the things I did I wanted to make sure you had is I have an updated board list for you. I don't know if that's important to you or not, and brought some new brochures that we just got from our national organization. So do you have a specific... And then Doug sometimes has some nice things to say about it.
Some of you may have heard me make these comments before, but it was a long effort by Betsy to get me to become a member of the board, and I kind of went through a metamorphosis, if you will, from hearing about CASA at a Chamber of Commerce meeting in the city many, many years ago, to my mother becoming an advocate, and then to realizing the circumstances under which a child is placed into foster care. And I think once I realized that, that's when I became very passionate about CASA. When you stop and think about what a child has to endure for the state, and whether, you know, no matter how you feel about the Department of Human Services, think about what a child has to endure for the state to come along and remove that child from its family. It's not a child that isn't fed a meal for one night, or a child that's made to stand too long in a corner. It's a child that's endured neglect, abuse, and sustained that, you know, those circumstances for a long period of time. And then once that child is taken, you know, away from the family, you know, the CASA advocate is there to represent the child. The goal is to get the child back with its family. However, that may not be possible. The ultimate goal is to get the child in a permanent situation where that child can thrive. And as Betsy indicated, there's no other service in the county that is dedicated to that, to children in those situations. And I think it's also important to realize that an advocate can be advocating for a child for many, many years. It may take a long time to either resolve the family situation where the child can go back into that family, or to go through an adoption process and become, you know, a permanent adopted child in the family. So we've got about 40 some. I'm going to get in trouble now.
You're going to get in trouble now because some just left. But right now we have 39 advocates.
Wow. And there are 100 and how many children?
Oh, right at this moment in time, there's 166 children in care. I try to do a demographic breakdown every few months. The last one I did was in January. And it's interesting how it breaks down. There's literally where the children come from. About a quarter of them come from South County, about a quarter from East County, about a quarter from North County, and then about a quarter of the children from right here in Newport or Central County.
Our annual budget's about $120,000. We have one and three quarters FTE. And other than paying salaries for the two people, Carol works about 60 hours a week, gets paid for three quarters of that. most of the money goes, again, to train advocates and support the trained advocates so they can represent children. And I've told the story about the child who was found wandering the high, which is, there's a child that was found with white substance on his face, and the story behind that is that the child was a young child,
about 18 months,
yeah. Was home. The mother was on meth, I believe, the child had been neglected, and the child got hungry. Mm. And the child had seen his or her mother preparing a meal and using a white powder.
Well, he had crawled up to where the stove was, and the only thing he could find in the house was this can, which turned out to be Comet cleanser. And so he was putting that, trying to make something at the stove because he was hungry. I mean, he was a little bit of a kid. He was maybe only 2 years old. And so he had that all over his face when he was discovered by the social service people. Because the mom had been...
He was walking down the street, right? He went, didn't he?
Well, that's actually a different one that you may have heard about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you heard that.
There was a little, oh my gosh, yeah. That one was about 18 months old, too, just literally walking down the highway. And
by himself.
Probably about 85% of the children we work with have parents who have major, major substance abuse issues, which was something that actually surprised me when I started this position. I knew it was going to be a difficult thing because I thought, oh, I'm going to be dealing with children who are suffering from physical abuse and sexual abuse on a daily basis. Well, certainly, sadly, we do see those children as well, but the majority of the children we see are because of parents who have substance abuse issues. So that's another group of other agencies, I guess you can say, that we certainly work cooperatively with because of the parents getting substance abuse treatment or because of homelessness issues. So we do work with, cooperatively certainly, with other nonprofit agencies in this area.
What are the age ranges? Do you like stuff at 18 or
newborn?
Literally newborn. To, and that is a great question, Rick. It goes up to age 18 generally, but I know of someone, for example, just turned 18 last month in January, but she has not graduated from high school yet, so she's actually still in care until she graduates from high school.
I see.
Yeah, and there's been other exceptions. They can actually stay in care through age 19 if there's some sort of disability or developmental delay.
How is a child matched to your agency? Who makes, is that done by an attorney or the court judge, magistrate, or how does that work?
That's a great question, too. It's actually a law. It's a mandate that anytime a child goes into foster care, they are supposed to have an advocate, a CASA, appointed to them. So the only children we serve are children who are in foster care. So that's how we become involved in the beginning. But then what happens is the judge appoints us. And something that's interesting that I think a lot of people don't know is that an advocate becomes an actual legal party to the case. And so, you know, we're going in there every month or 90 days to give a report to the judge and sit right there at the table with the parents, with DHS, with the attorneys.
It's pretty extensive training.
It's a full week long, all day. We meet from about 9 to 3 every day, Monday through Friday. And then in addition, the advocates have to do at least another 30 hours of courtroom observation before they can be sworn in as an advocate. It's a very serious thing. We have advocates who call it their job. So, and most of our advocates are retired or semi-retired, or they're in a position where they're self-employed or have their own business or have some kind of flexibility in their work. So, because they have to be able to go to meetings at DHS and hearings at the courthouse.
A couple of comments to follow up. The newborn, literally newly born, addicted to drugs because of the mother using while she's pregnant, and those children literally can be born and placed into a foster care environment.
And that happens quite a bit, quite a bit.
And the other point I'd like to make is that while we have how many children in care, there are a number of children that we don't have advocates for because we're limited in our resources and ability to train the people. And you know, $1,000, $2,000 is big in our budget. We do not have any reserves. You know, as the banker for the organization, I can tell you the checking account can get down to, you know, single digits. So, you know, our budget is very tight, and you know,
and we definitely
any
make every
money would be appreciated, and
we make every dollar count for sure.
We're getting a big bang for our buck when you look at the benefit that the children receive. So
I was just thinking about it, saying that it's mandated that you provide the service, but it's one of those mandates that comes with no funding.
One of those mandates that comes with a little bit of funding.
There's some funding.
Yeah, from you can see from the state there is a little bit of funding. I mean, $14,000 is certainly not enough to run the program for a year, but that is what we get from the state. And probably because we're a small county, but based on our population, we have a really high percentage of children in foster care compared to other counties. Tillamook County to the north has about 80 children in foster care, so we have more than double. Benton County, of course, the population is a little bit less, but Benton County has a population about 2.5 times ours, I believe, and last I heard, they have 50 children in foster care.
So your subsidy from the state's not per capita.
It's
not per
completely
per
based
caseload. It's
population, period.
By population.
Population.
Yeah. Oh. Not by caseload, it's by population. Yeah.
Which Betsy has been involved in trying to find
change
a
that.
More equitable method.
We're actually working on that now to try and make it to where it's maybe more for caseload from the state. But
well, one time, wasn't the meth use in our county was percentage-wise, one of the highest in the state?
Oh, yes.
Well, we had the meth labs. I don't know that the meth use has actually declined. It's just that they're getting their meth from Mexico now instead of from their living room.
I got to say, though, it's declined somewhat.
A little bit.
There's still a lot of meth use. Mm-hmm. But sadly, when something goes down because it's not as readily available, something else goes up. And so what they're seeing more and more of in the courts is that heroin use is back on the rise. Yep. Mm-hmm. Which
I don't think the drug abuse situation changed that much. It's just that we don't have the meth labs now.
But we're still percentage-wise one of the highest.
We just created a new market for a different meth manufacturer somewhere else.
I'm just curious. What's the Juan Young Trust? I've never heard of that.
Oh, it's a small family foundation based out of Portland.
Good for you.
Good for finding that.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Really? I look everywhere I can, and that in fact that's just run by one family member actually, and they do fairly small grants.
So these guys are going to make a recommendation to the council, and then we will act on that recommendation next council meeting, March 5th. And if you want to know what the recommendation was, you can contact Nicole tomorrow. So they're going to decide tonight.
Oh, and wow, that's okay.
And it's not a done deal until the council approves it,
sure.
Obviously. And then hopefully we will have money in the budget for next year as well, and that will start the round earlier in July. So you have to do it right away this next fiscal year. Okay. We've had the money fiscal year, but it took this long to get the paperwork and process in place. So
then I guess my question to you is this funding is for 2012?
It's for this fiscal year.
Oh, wow.
So we'll start again in July if the budget committee.
Because all of the cities, you know, are doing this right about now, but it's for 2012, 2013.
Right.
So
we're just behind the gun.
That's okay. Okay.
Great.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for your time.
Good to see you all.
Yeah.
Thanks.
My business cards with
you. How long have you been with CASA? About
5 years. Yeah. Are you the minister of the Presbyterian Church? See, that's why you're famous. I've heard of you.
He's a good guy.
In a good way.
Bad news travels.
Thank you.
Thank you, Doug. See you later.
Thank you so much.
Good night.
Gosh, Nicole. Oh, I was going to say to her, I'll be calling her tomorrow. Thanks a lot.
Or you can send her an email also.
Is the city's fiscal year budget different from year to year?
Meaning?
In other words, do you start January 1 and end December 31st?
No, it's July to July.
Ah. Uh-huh.
The money, we've had this money earmarked for this since July, but yours truly had to do all the footwork to get it to happen.
Hello. Hi.
Yeah, well, it's a neat thing too. It's hard to get done.
I'm Mark McConnell. I'm mayor and council at and council liaison to this committee. And this is Liz Martin.
Hi.
And Don Taylor and
Hi.
Rick Leather. And
there are
task force. And
Nicole.
And Nicole Clark is our company. You know Nicole. And introduce yourselves. And
I'm Stacy Edwards. I'm founder of Stepping Stones. And this is Melissa Hatfield, and she's my assistant for Stepping Stones.
Okay, you can just start in.
Okay, well, Stepping Stones Recovery Home started in 2009. We opened up our first sober house in Lincoln City, and we've had over 150 women through the doors out there since then. It's been women and women with children. And then in 2011, we received a $10,000 private donation from the Morton Foundation, or Family Foundation. And so we wrote a grant for the Celeste Tribe and did a money match of $6,000 each and used that money to set up new houses. We set up a women and children's house here in Newport and a men's house here in Newport, and then also a men's house out in Toledo. So now, and I have another piece of paper for you. And this is this year's financials. There's two there. And our goal is to help as many alcoholics and addicts in this community as we possibly can. And so in doing so, what Well, for I'll go through the expenses and then we'll talk about kind of what our next goals are. Our deposits for 2011 were $69,033. Our expenses for rent, $31,000. So for our total expenses for the year was $51,800. And our net income was $17,233, which was all actual grant money. So without that grant money, we would have kind of been in a little bit of trouble. So we received in 2011, we received a 2012 donation. It was given to us in 2011, but we used it in 2012, if that makes sense. And then the Celeste charitable contribution, the private donation, and then we had a remaining balance in our grant funds. But we used the $17,000 was used in getting the houses, paying the rent, deposits on the houses, buying furniture, household supplies. We had to buy 25 twin beds, mattresses, and we had some things donated, but a lot of it was junk. And now we have three storage units full of stuff that was donated in addition to that household supplies that came kind of there at the end. And then the following is a list of the current Stepping Stones recovery homes and the number of clients for 2011 and 12. For the Women's House in Lincoln City, we had 22 clients for the year, and 14 of those came into the house as non-payers to begin with. And they were referred to us through probation, the hospitals, Department of Corrections, and just different places around the community. And then in the Women and Children's House, which was set up in June of 2011, we've had 21 women, and 7 of those have been non-payers. And then the Men's House in Newport, 20 men so far in that house since June, and 9 of those have been non-payers. And then the Men's House in Toledo, which was, August or September? We set that house up in August. We've had 15 men in there, and 6 of them have been non-payers. So out of all the folks that we've had this year, and they've all been through referrals from the county and the state and the hospitals, out of 78 clients, 36 of them could not pay. So 46% were indigent clients. And some of those we even had to get shoes, clothes, you know, and where does the money come from? The money comes from agencies like yours through the, you know, we're going to now get involved with the county grant funding. But if it weren't for that money that we received in the private donations and from the tribe last year, you know, we would have kind of went down, you know, we would have just barely broke even. So, well, actually, we wouldn't have even broke even. We would have ended under. So. And this year is already starting out better. You know, we've had to put our foot down a little bit as far as not allowing so many people in that cannot pay. Just because it does, you know, it affects the utilities and all of that. And what we're finding is a very high percentage of those folks are unemployed. And so what we're doing is we're starting at ground zero with computers. And part of the grant we asked, I believe, for $3,000 for computers was so that we could put a computer in each one of these houses, a computer and a nice printer, and have all of the supplies that they need for job search, for resume writing, for typing teachers, for online schooling, because those are some of the things that we really strive. We've got several of the people going to school now. Several of them are, you know, and because of the difference in our employment market today, I've told all of them, you know, you've got to look outside the box. You can't go to all the places that everyone else is going to be hired. You know, you've got to go to other places where you think you might not be hired. And we've got 4 or 5 people on at Walmart now, of the people that are in the houses. So things are really looking up for this year for Stepping Stones. I'm pretty excited about that. So,
do you provide any other service other than a living space?
We do require that they go to the meetings. I've taken all of my classes to become a licensed alcohol and drug counselor. So I don't do any counseling because I have not completed my internship. just mainly, you know, group support, and we work with them on, I require all the mothers to go to parenting classes here locally, and all of them to go through alcohol and drug counseling. So we don't necessarily provide it, but we connect them with the right resource within our own community for that. We do, we've had meditation groups, and you know, now that we have so many children, how many children do we have?
Eight.
We have eight children now in both the women and children's houses. And, you know, we've got some children that have some real, you know, behavioral issues and social issues. So all of the women that live in that house are, you know, in need of being able to help that, those children transition. They've been in DHS custody for 3 years, and they were just returned to the parent yesterday at our home. So that's our first DHS case where the children have been returned to the parent, and the mother has been court ordered to live as stepping stones.
And do you have a resident manager in each house?
Yes.
So their rent is free? Are they paid? Do you have no salary? Pays rent if
everybody
they can.
Pays rent. Yes, if they can. Yeah.
And you're renting these homes from, or you're buying these homes?
We're renting. Yeah. And I actually live at the Women and Children's House as well.
So. Your program then isn't a detox program like Truman House?
We can take people after they've been medically detoxed and they've been cleared from the hospital. Mm-hmm. However, you know, our goal is more transitioning back into society. You know, getting them employed, doing random drug testing and breathalyzers and that kind of thing.
So how long would a client stay with you?
They can stay as long as they need to. There's no time limit. You know, some people don't have a safe place to go back to because of, you know, living here all their life or, you know, whatever that situation may be. So, you know, I've had ladies 2 years, and as long as they're paying their rent and they're going by the house rules and they go to their meetings and they maintain employment, you know, full-time employment, then they can stay as long as they want.
How do you do food? Everybody does their own food, or do they community food?
They do. You know, it's funny that you bring that up because we've been really hitting on that lately. Because what I've noticed is that, you know, all of the women have Oregon Trail cards. So we counted up and I said, how many people in here have Oregon Trail cards? And everybody raised their hands. And we went around the room and we counted up how much money that actually is, you know, in groceries for the month. And it was an exorbitant amount of money. And by the 20th of the month, everybody's broke. And I said, okay, so we went through, you know, some spending habits and what are some of the issues that, you know, why is this happening? And we talked about it as a group, you know, energy drinks, that kind of stuff. And I said, you know, I don't want to see you guys buying energy drinks on your food carts. But they do, we do eat together as a family sometimes, and then other times, you know, people eat separate. So we're putting a lot more emphasis on the financial aspect of the living too, because, you know, what I'm finding with alcoholics and addicts is that, you know, first of all, when they come in, they don't really want to pay their rent. Maybe it's because, and not all of them, not all addicts are that way, but a lot of them are not used to paying, you know, they've been couch hopping or whatever, and so getting them to work and then to pay is quite a little challenge. So, but it's being done, and that's the great news.
So, do you have some kind of licensing, or what's your? Do you have a agency that's working with you directly, or refers to you?
We work with many agencies. Yeah, we work with many agencies, all kinds of different.
Is there a licensing process you have to follow?
I am licensed just through the Attorney General. There's a, you know, something through the state. My attorney handles the majority of that. Uh-huh. I've got my tax ID, you know, my federal tax ID.
It's a nonprofit thing.
Yes, determination letter. There's city licensing. And we've already applied for our Newport City license and are waiting for that. So. And then I already have licensing in Lincoln City.
Sounds like a grassroots program.
It is. It's been a lot of fun. Challenging, but fun.
So you're doing a full-time job also?
Yes.
Above and beyond all that?
No, this is my full-time
job. Full-time
this is
job.
All I do.
Okay. So you have one employee, basically.
Yes.
One thing I just wanted to note to you, that you requested $8,000. Our total amount of money that we have to give out for this year is $8,400.
Did I request eight or...
Well, we have $8,000 down. I just want to...
Oh, okay.
I just want to make sure that you're aware of that. That we've
oh,
got,
okay.
We've got, you know...
I thought, yeah, I thought you guys had more than that.
We've got all these people.
I was told
the county,
it was like $20,000.
The county has that much.
The county,
yeah.
Oh,
the county
okay.
has that much.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. My mistake.
But I just want you to be...
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, when we figure out our determination, I want you to know that that's...
Oh, okay.
That's how big the pot is, and that's how many people are requesting money, so...
So have you guys filed taxes or been audited yet?
No, we have not been audited.
Okay, or you haven't filed taxes yet as a nonprofit agency?
How long
have you
been? Filed for 2010.
Okay.
We have not filed for 2011 currently.
Okay.
As of yet.
Great. Any more questions? Okay, so the task force will make their recommendations tonight, and then... they'll get forwarded to the council on March 5th for final approval from the council. But if you want to know what the task force recommendations were, you can give me a call or stop by or email
okay,
me
great.
Tomorrow.
Thanks for coming.
Thank
and
you.
Good luck with your program.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. We'll do another round beginning in July for this next fiscal year. So
oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
Thanks
right,
a lot.
Thank you.
Is there next to a body, Nicole?
Yeah.
I want to get rid of all this plastic before the nurse sees.
Yeah, before we get busted. I left my good water bottle somewhere and I can't find it. I have this because, no, I was serious. Y'all, it's really difficult.
I lost mine
water bottle.
I lost mine on the airplane on the way home from Japan. And
I have to do that
I went to the bathroom and I kept looking down on people's laps down here. Finally, I saw it about four or five rows back
down
by the windows, you know, there's kind of one long, and so I caught it, got the stewardess. I got the stewardess and sent her down there after
that. Was poor thing. I do that
she
all
found
the time.
It.
Okay.
All right, so now it's just up to you guys to decide how you want to allocate the money to each group, and then I'll average them out, and we can go from there, unless you guys want to have discussion on the applications, or if you feel comfortable and you kind of know what you want to give.
Well, let me start with a recommendation
mm-hmm.
that there are two of these entities. Actually, let me make a preliminary comment. I don't think there's anything here that isn't worth supporting. That's not the issue. We have to take the dollars that we have and divide them in the best way we can to serve the most needy populations that we have here, which is not easy. But Habitat for Humanity, in spite of their tremendous record and good works, really doesn't have much of a footprint here in Newport at the time. So my first consideration for discussion would be I'm not convinced they need to be on our list this year. That's a recommendation. The other one would be the last group that we just heard. I'm a little concerned about their seemingly lack of organization and their relatively small footprint. Based on their budget, which is relatively small, but their service for about 75 people, that can be a very, very long-term one. If you compare that, for example, with Samaritan House, that has a very progressive training and return to the community type program where they're teaching people fiscal responsibility, family planning, and integration back in the community, I don't really see any of that with this last group. So, as a place to start, based on what we have available, Habitat and Stepping Stones would be two agencies that I would be least inclined to provide funding for.
Did
Do you have any feelings, Liz, on that?
Well, I had some concerns with the last group as well. I just, you know, and I know the group is, you know, again, does a good thing, but I'm just not convinced on how.
You do know somebody on the board, though, right?
I do.
Okay.
And I wish that I would have got a chance to talk to him, but he's out of town golfing.
Somebody on the board for
golfing. Well,
stepping stones?
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
a good reason to be out of town. Sounds like they're brand new, too. They just got started in 2009, and they're pretty much putting it together on their own.
Yeah.
Let me, somebody just mentioned the way the county does it, because it's a little bit different. In the county, it's actually made up of people from the agencies. And one of the goals among them is to try to work together so everyone cooperates and shares the best they can. So usually what happens with the county funding is that we do fund all the requests, but at lower levels. In other words, we don't cut anyone out because we see it everyone as a partnership. And I understand what you're saying about the footprint of Habitat, but the footprint for Habitat is that Newport is the center of their operation, and the reason they don't have property in Newport is because they can't afford it.
Yeah, I heard that.
So if there was property that they could afford in Newport, then, you know, there'd be more of a footprint.
Well, Habitat has a really small footprint throughout the county, and they don't really serve. It has always been the case every time you go to these agencies' supports. When I was doing this for Habitat, Habitat is a really great program, but it doesn't really serve a whole lot of people.
True. You've got
it's a really small number of
five or six people in the household.
Yeah, and it's a really small slice of who can even qualify to get a house.
Now look at their budget. They've got $272,000 as a budget, and then you look, for example, at CASA, that's $123,000. And they're looking at 200 children every year, and I would be significantly more inclined to fully fund the entire CASA request rather than prorate and reduce their request to subsidize someone else. I don't know. That's different from what the county does, Don, but that's kind of the way I feel.
And I think that's why the county does their scoring, or for lack of a better word, of what the sheet is that everyone can determine how they want to do it, and then it's an average. So if you know, it kind of just spreads out the field that way. So I think that's why the county averages the way that they do for the funding.
So is that what is that? And a de facto request, we just fill this out based on our personal...
On your opinion on their...
Opinions?
And if you guys want to come together as a group and do it...
The three of you can decide now how you want to do it. I mean, you can, if you want to just keep talking like you're talking and then make a decision, that's fine.
I mean, and I'm just saying this is how the county did it.
So then they leave and somebody tallies the figures and comes out with a number after they're gone. I see.
Yeah.
But we don't have to do it.
You don't have to do it that way. I'm just saying I provided this to you.
Sure.
Because this is...
It's a worksheet.
It's the model that the county used in...
Well, generally what... Yeah, they do. There's... Because the agencies are part of it, and they're all working together to try to use the funds the best they can. But another option we have... So we've talked about stepping stones and some concerns about that. You know, one option we would have would be to not fund them this year, but encourage them to reapply next year. Sure. Tell them that we're at least a little bit concerned about...
Well, I think if you're not going to fund them, it'd be fine, but tell them what your concerns are.
Right.
But, I mean, I personally, having done nonprofit bookkeeping myself, the financial information they gave you is really...
And based
doesn't
on,
tell their story at all. And
no.
Based on her report, I don't think she's in complete command.
Herself. She's doing this as a full-time job, and I don't know how where does that
That's
reflect
right.
on here, an FTE, or
yeah.
it just says deposits, and I
I just think you need to have better information about where, what money's coming in and where the money's going.
At some point, they're going to have to.
Well, that's what we would say, that we would encourage them to apply again, but we need a better accounting of their, and we could give them a sample, because these are public records, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We could give them a sample of one that we really liked, mm-hmm. and said, you know, we would encourage you to apply again, but like the one that, the advocacy or Habitat, they're all really well done. So if you took out that 8,000, and that would leave us up with 11,900, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then to get down to 8,000, we need to reduce that 3.
$8,400 is what you have.
So you'd have to reduce it 3,500.
3,500. Okay.
So, I mean, if you just wanted to look at it, dividing it down.
The largest budget by double of any other organization is the Children's Advocacy Center. Mm-hmm. They're $500,000 budget. And my gosh, the work they do is incredible. I was one of the initial supporters of that agency, but it's challenging on our small number of dollars that we have to work with, what real effect that $2,000 is going to have on a budget that large.
Well, the goal, even at the city council level, the goal is to give them some tangible local government support that they can then leverage when they're doing grant writing and when they show support. It's just like you're looking at the other people that are supporting them. They also use that. They use the city of Newport as one of their lists of supporting. You know that helps them leverage private grant and foundation grants.
All right.
Yeah.
If we reduced Habitat to 1,000, then that would
that's 1,500.
So then that would leave us with 2,000 more we need to remove, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you took Samaritan House down to 2...
that would do it.
Yeah. And,
So that would...
And funded the other two with what they're asking.
Okay, let me make sure I got this right, or do you have it all, Nicole?
2,000 for Children Advocacy Center, 1,000 for Habitat for Humanity, 2,000 for Samaritan, 1,800 for Progressive Options, 1,600 for CASA, and nothing for Stepping Stones. And I'll just add.
And then that would give us the 8,400.
Yeah.
Did you go over it?
I got it. I'm not necessarily buying in yet.
That's fine.
That's fine. And what do we have for Habitat?
You have 1,000 for Habitat.
1,000.
I would be more comfortable taking that $2,000 children's advocacy down to 1,000 and funding Samaritan House at 3.
That's okay with me.
They're both getting less, but again, the footprint and the, well, look at the director that came in here and took a big cut personally.
Yeah.
Regardless of her humanitarianism about that and somewhat humility. They're currently not operating 3 of their facilities. I mean, the Advocacy Center is marvelous. What they do for children is essential. But Samaritan House, you're the one that brought up. I didn't realize they were a single facility between, Seattle and San Francisco?
Yeah. They're sort of like the jail. We had the building and the structure. Now the problem is funding the ongoing operation. Yeah. And Bridget, she loves Samaritan House. I mean, she's given her life to it, as you could tell. She started as a volunteer. And, you know, I remember when she first came on board. So, yeah, that's a great suggestion.
Three there and one at advocacy. And then I'm very comfortable with that.
Okay. So then the only other thing would be with Stepping Stone, I'd want to get a report. Would we need permission from one of the agencies to share the report with them, do you think?
No, it's public record.
Okay.
If the committee would like to draft a letter to Stepping Stones to send on behalf of the committee saying this is why we made that decision instead of me just sending out a standard...
Oh, sure.
Sorry. I mean, if you guys want to to do that, I don't think that's a problem.
It's not a problem. I wouldn't mind doing it, but first it's a recommendation to the council, right? And then the council needs to...
Yes, but after, I mean, so that gives you guys some time to draft a letter to them. And then afterwards, I mean, I'm going to send standard letters to the people who were granted money. But if you guys want to do a separate letter to Stepping Stones explaining why your decision was the way it is, a small narrative, you can do that as well.
Could we make one more trip through these allegations?
Sure. Yeah. I'd like to do those.
Because I'm going to...
$1,000 at Children Advocacy Center.
Okay.
I have $1,000 for Habitat, $3,000 for Samaritan House, $1,800 for Progressive Options, $1,600 for CASA, and none for Stepping Stones.
Thank you, Nicole.
Mm-hmm. And there was $1,600 also for the food pantry, which would have rounded it up to $10,000.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys knew that.
I've heard that before you walked in.
Yeah,
Nicole told me.
Okay, you heard that, Liz?
Yeah, I knew that.
The council made the decision just to give the first $1,600 that went to the food.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, so that's I'm glad helping, you did that because...
That's helping everybody in Newport and all the populations that are being served here. And it's nice, what you did was nice because it kind of spreads it out to adult help and kid help and family help and, you know, it's a little bit of all the different areas that need support.
And I would imagine these people are going to reapply again and then we'll be able to...
I really like the Stepping Stones model, the idea of what they're doing.
I was impressed with what she did.
Yeah.
And I think she's off to a good start, but she... You know, needs,
she needs help. Structure. It made me want to help her.
I know. But she's a brave gal to do what she's done.
Well, obviously she's walking the walk, you know.
When does the county do this process? Did somebody say?
They're starting the process right now for next year.
And we're uncertain about the budget because, you know, every year it just keeps...
You got to wait till the
They kind of go through this process and accept applications and give grants before they actually even budget the money for it, which is kind of a scary deal. I asked Wayne about that. I said, Wayne, what are you doing? You're giving the money away before you even budgeted it. And he goes, well, it kind of makes it hard for him not to put it in the budget.
Isn't that how government works? First the government sends the budget, then it sends out the tax bill, right?
Okay, so I have these allocations. They'll go to council on the 5th as a recommendation from this committee. Did you guys want to draft a special letter to Stepping Stones?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you want to work on...
I'd be happy to do it.
Please, you have my full support.
So what I'll do is I'll draft a letter and I'll send it to you and then you can email it.
I'll email it to them. Mm-hmm. The only thing is you can't have conversation back and forth on email. So if you have suggestions about the letter, email straight back to me.
Yeah.
So that clear? So I'll send it to Nicole, and so you'll get my letter from Nicole.
That's fine.
Okay.
So Excuse me.
Could you send us an email when the council makes their final decision based on our recommendation?
Mm-hmm. And everybody's comfortable with the figures that we've come to.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Yeah.
So if you made any particular notes, you need to give those to Nicole for the public record.
Yes, I have to accept everything.
Any written notes? I don't know, the ones you have on your clipboard here.
I have Stepping Stone Nicole.
This is just the budget.
I don't think you need that.
Okay. Well, thank you for putting all this together.
I hope you'll agree to continue to be on the committee for this next year.
What to do?
Assuming that we'll have the budget.
We don't have to. There's no rule that you have to juggle the committee, right?
No. But we need really the one person, Dennis.
His wife said he was sick. Yeah.
She was in the hospital.
But then the other person is never.
Jeff is going to need to be replaced.
So we need to replace him. So if you have any recommendations, let me know.
I would really like to hear more about.
I'm going to adjourn the meeting. And are we good?
Yeah.